Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, guys. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. The Carabao Cup is finally upon us. Manchester United host Liverpool and Spurs have a chance to sneak nearer the top. Welcome, one and all, Luke Moore, Jim Campbell. How the dickens are yous?
Bloody
right.
Good.
Uh-huh. PED's not here, but don't worry about that, ladies and gentlemen. There's plenty of football to get our teeth into, like that Champions League stuff that happened last night.
Mm. We've empty-chaired Pete Donaldson. We're going to level a load of criticism at him. And because he hasn't turned up, he's not got a right to reply. It's going to be like when Clint Eastwood did it to...
Obama, was it?
Is it Obama? Yeah. At some sort of Republican National Convention.
Yeah. Why aren't you here, Pete?
Yeah,
exactly.
I got nothing for that.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. He's given all that money back to the people he nicked it from.
We can't substantiate that.
Oh, one. Okay. Pete not would, those kind of criticisms.
Pete possibly may sue us. Of all the four people here, he might want to be the one to sue
us. Yeah, but he'd wake up one morning and just find he'd started the proceedings with no memory of it.
And he's also prosecuting himself.
Yes.
That's very true. My goodness. Well, let's start with Atletico Madrid, Jim.
Mm.
A lot of people fancied Juventus for the Champions League. I said a lot of people, some people, because Ronaldo's there.
Yeah.
But was that an own goal by Cristiano Ronaldo at the end? Godin was given it.
Well, in which case, no.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's changed its path, hasn't it? It's sort of flipped off its back. Is there anything sort of more poetically Atletico than an aging Uruguayan centre-back deflecting one in off Ronaldo?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That is very much appreciated in that part of Madrid.
I can't remember if it was going on target or not. I mean, presumably it was. But the idea that everyone in UEFA has just instinctively gone... You know, if we give this to Cristiano Ronaldo, it's probably going to cause a lot of admin.
He might never talk to us again.
Yeah, a lot of ill feeling. There's going to be Instagram posts. There's going to be probably transfer requests.
That's right.
No one can be able to deal with that. Yeah. Give it to Godin. He gratefully accepts
it.
Yeah. And then we're away.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah. But what a win for Atleti, though. 2-0. Yeah.
And Simeone enjoyed his celebration, didn't he?
What was that about?
It was about cojones.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he sort of,
if
you didn't see it, he kind of...
gestures to his testicles.
Open palms towards testes.
Yeah.
Either side. And a kind of, a bit like that wrestler.
Well, there was more like a little grabby motion, wasn't it?
Oh, was it a grabby?
Bit of a grab as well,
There was no ambiguity in it.
But do you seldom think... is with Diego Simeone.
No. Jim, do you think that everything Diego Simeone approaches in his life, however... benign, like, you know, just going and picking up some milk in a shop, is about cojones.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, some people have a sort of like a what would Jesus do mantra, or what would Larry David do mantra in some cases. With Simeone, I imagine it's what would my balls do?
I can imagine Simeone just going to the longest queue at the checkout in the supermarket just because. Do you know why? Well, because fuck you lot, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And somehow it'll finish before the shorter ones. Because he's so dedicated.
For his force of will.
Yeah.
Do you think is he capable of small talk?
I reckon he's all right.
Think he's very intense.
I think he gets a read on you pretty early, and if he likes you, you're okay, and if you're not, you've got no chance.
Well, he might, but he must be okay, because he's been there for so long, and he's kept a lot of players presumably quite happy, and he manages to...
It's kind of a Stockholm Syndrome situation, though.
It could be. But he seems to get a tune out of players who otherwise would be probably more creative and let off the leash a bit more.
Yes.
But
it works. It's important to point out that the Champions League final is at the Wanda Metropolitano this year.
It is.
And I think, obviously, that's giving them a load more impetus. And, you know...
Makes it more easy for Real Madrid to win it there, so they haven't...
They haven't got to travel. But you know, and so much comes down to the draw. We've got two... I was saying to Jim just outside earlier. We were just talking. We weren't fighting.
No.
We didn't go outside to have a fight.
We were stripped to the waist.
It was like
chat.
Simeone and someone else.
Yeah, anyone else. Any other human being.
Apart from Burgos.
Yeah. Atletico against Juventus, it's actually pretty good for the competition because it means that two of the more defensively minded teams are going to, one of them is going to be knocked out. So I also think because of the way that Atletico feel about the, and we've talked about this on the continent, of course, but because of the way Atletico feel about the final being at their home stadium, which is quite a new stadium, and they're keen to make some memories there. It's probably the hardest draw Juventus could
have
got.
And they've been so close. They have been so close, and their bitter City rivals have beaten them twice, as you say. There's a chance, you know. I sort of forgot, you know, the concentration of the Champions League. You look at Madrid and you think, well, they're not as good as they were, but they know how to win it. Barcelona are not as good, but they're still Barcelona. I was looking at Juventus, PSG, again, not as strong as they have been. Man City, well, we'll talk about them in just a sec.
So I feel like if Atletico beat Real Madrid in the final in their new stadium, does that knock Madrid back to nine?
It should.
What are they on now?
They're on 11.
They're on 11, I think. I thought you were going to say to Atletico Madrid, go, right, that's it. We're going to stop playing football. We're going to become Atletico Madrid Basketball Club or something like that. I don't know. But Man City, though, in the end, they got a good result.
It was a mad game because they were really dominant. Schalke showed, obviously.
Real Madrid won 13 European Champions.
I was going to say,
They've won so many in the last
year. You're forgetting about the three recent ones.
Absolutely.
Or the four recent ones.
Man City,
handy to bring on. To bring on Sané, of course. That free kick was an absolute dinger.
He would have been so disappointed to not start. And then you could argue that's a masterstroke from Guardiola, bringing him on and him doing that.
He seemed disappointed to score.
The emotional kind of impact of that on the stadium as well. He did that
apologetic celebration.
He didn't celebrate. He punched the air, and when people jumped on him, he was like, all right, I'm not going to sort of do a cartwheel.
I don't think it was that bad, Marcus.
Do you not think?
No, because of the circumstances, purely because he came through there. There was a picture in the paper yesterday of him playing for Schalke in like a tournament when he was 11. Mm-hmm. He'd been there a long time.
Yep.
I think Schalke are a huge club and all the rest of it, and there was 60,000 in there last night. And I do think it goes underplayed how big a club they are.
Yeah.
But I think he knew that to be true to himself and to achieve what he wanted to achieve, he had to move on from it. I think it's a very different situation. And he didn't do the old, I'm not celebrating at all type thing.
All right, you've charmed me.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Obviously, last season.
Forgive me,
and
Leroy.
I like him as well. He's lovely. Yeah,
forgive me, Leroy.
Cute face.
I really like Leroy Sané a lot. And obviously, there's that brilliant meme of Ian Dowie living in his throat.
Yeah.
That we've
one of the finest things. In that quite narrow subculture of footballers appearing in other footballers' skin, there was one, I think it's something to do with a knee, and Mick McCarthy maybe appearing in someone's
about
knee.
About right.
I've not got the detail on that.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't hang around long enough so he could.
Yeah.
Up every now and then.
To go back to the football, sorry, Jim, just very quickly, the one thing I found interesting about that game, it's a few things, it was a great game, and I don't want to get into the VAR stuff because it's boring. But Man City won that game with two really un-Man City goals.
Yep.
Something that you wouldn't associate with Guardiola because you think, no, he's going to stick to his principles no matter what and he believes in his system. Well, the winner, Edison just pumped it.
Yeah.
Absolutely pumped it.
Yeah, but Edison loves a diagonal like that. He's so accurate.
It was a great pass.
It was a brilliant pass.
But it wasn't the type of football you associate with Guardiola.
No, but down to 10 men and you've got pace on the break. I thought it was, you know, it turns out to be a masterstroke, as you say, bringing on Sané. For Aguero, of course, if that doesn't happen and they don't score, why on earth did you take off Aguero? But the fact is that they won the game.
Well, they just got quality throughout, haven't they?
Exactly. But with Schalke, you look at that defender who's nudged off by Sterling. It wasn't a foul.
He's got to do better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Sterling,
you know, obviously he's quick and he's perhaps stronger than he's given credit for. But he is quite slight. You know, given that physical matchup, that defender
about
got
balance,
be doing
about core strength, and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but. Yeah, I loved Bernardo Silva's involvement in the first goal, where he just sort of nipped in and took the ball off the defender so cleanly there. Like, it was absolutely beautiful. What I was going to say about Sané is something a friend of mine said to me last season when Salah was tearing it up and everyone was saying he's a little bit like Messi in the way he plays. And I'm not suggesting that Sané will go on to hit the same heights, but same guy said that Sané reminds him a little bit of Ronaldo. If you look at his physicality and sort of the way he strikes the ball as well, and I think there's definitely something to that.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant player, Sané. He could certainly go on to be one of the best in the world when he sort of, you know...
He did well to dodge that Germany national squad bullet.
But you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
With Bernardo Silva, I wonder if it's a decent shout to say he's one of the most underrated footballers in the world. Because he plays in a variety of different positions.
His notoriety is certainly growing.
Yeah.
His popularity, you know, with his certain tweets about that Christmas tree and all that, if you saw that one. He is becoming more in the consciousness of people, but I think he's such a lovely player.
When he first he came over, he didn't really get in the team much.
No.
But that seemed very deliberate, didn't it?
Yes.
Because we're seeing Riyad Mahrez not in the team now, and I have no doubt that he will come back over time. And I wonder if Guardiola does this to manage the reputations almost of players.
So also...
To avoid this weird anonymity.
Yeah, to avoid burnout as well. But I mean,
they've got a big game this weekend.
They do have a big game. Well, Pep Guardiola said that Manchester City still can't fight or compete or win essentially the Champions League with a performance like that. But can they win the Carabao Cup? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
Because let's talk about why it's yes.
Is it because Maurizio Sarri is still in charge of Chelsea, or is it because Man City are the best team in the land? Liverpool fans may disagree, and the league table would disagree with that as well, of course. But the first chance of silverware this season... and you look at it, and Man City obviously beat Chelsea 6-0 recently, and will Sarri change anything? Will he go for... You would imagine he would go for the 4-3-3. We can pretty much pick... We can pretty much pick the starting lineup.
And
however,
the subs.
And when they will be made, those subs. But you can do all that, but you can play more cautiously at least. Surely.
And that's the key thing, isn't it? And before I get into that very quickly, the league table wouldn't disagree with that because Man City are currently top of the table on goal difference.
Well...
Liverpool got a game in hand.
You know what
the table is the table.
All right, the table doesn't know.
No, the table is not conscious of itself.
And it did lie. Leicester City fans know that. And they enjoyed that lie.
it lied badly one year because I think probably came about seventh. But anyway... The Sarri side of this is that we know what team he's going to play, we know how he's going to play, and we know what I mean. Yeah, with the exception of the the decision making hot potato of Kovacic or Barkley.
Yeah.
Other than that, we pretty much know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's gone underplayed that what Sarri did at Napoli and the way the team played when he managed them at Napoli is nothing like what Chelsea are playing like at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I think people might. I haven't seen this mentioned enough, I don't think, and maybe you guys can shed some more light on it, but when you talk about how Sarri's doing at Chelsea at the moment, it seems to be that, this Sarri ball's obviously rubbish, because look at it, they're terrible. Mm. And it's like, well, and it's fine to not watch football outside of England if you don't want it. I mean, I watch the majority of my football in England, of course, as we all do, but it's important to stress, I think, but that's not what Sarri ball's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like an Italian version of like the tiki-taka type Barcelona game. And the players just aren't implementing that because presumably James Horncastle would tell you it's because they didn't have a pre-season there's a lot of ideas being overloaded onto the players, etc. And it takes time.
It absolutely has to be that as well because it's a stark contrast, isn't it? I mean, we saw Napoli under Sarri and it is a sort of, it's a relentlessly positive sort of quite gung-ho approach. Absolutely, that the players have to buy into. And Chelsea, you would never describe them as that. They just look a bit conservative.
A bit drab.
And drab, absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly the word. And it's interesting to see how little that style has managed to be imposed. And also, as well, with the substitution things I find really interesting. We were talking earlier in the season about how Sarri appears to be writing a novel on the side of the pitch.
With a cigarette butt,
yeah. But if he's making the same subs with the same players in the same minutes every game,
what's he writing?
What is he writing?
Yeah, not winning again.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Another defeat. No, and also perspective again in football. I know they're not playing well. I know it's not brilliant, but they're 1 point off fourth. Yeah. I know we're talking about a cup here.
Are you defending Sarri?
Well, I am.
Purely, different tact from you.
I am purely because I've sort of thought about it a lot over the last few days, and it's gone way over the top now, I think. Mm. I think if you get someone in like that, presumably you've done your research about what he is and how he does it, and you can't really be surprised that it's happening.
He didn't get the backing. I think Jonathan Wilson once again did a very good piece on this, and he said that, you know, Conte, I think, was still in charge for pre-season.
Yeah, he was.
If you're going to implement someone like Sarri, Sarri is not the type of manager. Someone like Ancelotti has a less defined philosophy, say, in terms of football. He turns up, sees what he's got, and everyone has a bloody lovely time and they win a cup. Yeah, Something like that. Sarri isn't like that.
And then he gets sacked.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Because Sarri doesn't win anything.
No, Sarri doesn't win anything. That is a distinction. But Sarri's style of playing, it takes time. Look at Guardiola at Man City and how much money he's been given and so on. If you're going to get Sarri, you're going to have to properly back him. And I know they've got Jorginho and now they've got Higuain, but Higuain's probably a bit too late in the day for this season to make an enormous impact. Well, maybe not, we'll see. But he needs more. If you look at that midfield at Napoli, Who did you have in there? You have Jorginho.
Alan.
You had Alan, who's a fantastic... I'm surprised that, I think maybe PSG was sniffing around Alan.
Yeah.
Brilliant player. Shuttler, who complimented Jorginho's style, knew the system inside out. And Hamzik.
Yeah, Hamzik.
Who'd been there for ages.
Yeah.
And was very much a servant of the club and so on, and a very intelligent, very versatile player. And those three were completely... on board and well drilled and knew each other's games and knew what was going on. And at Chelsea, you know, Barkley's not been in the team that much. He's come in this season. Kovacic is, of course, a new signing. Kante's now playing out of position.
But it's also about how the manager wants the players to play, and the information is, I'm led to believe, is quite heavy, and it takes quite a long time to get the ideas across.
But both parties take a little bit. You can lay a bit of the blame at Chelsea's door for perhaps not backing him, as we say. The players have always got to take some part of the blame because they're the ones on the field, ultimately. Yeah. And also Sarri for perhaps maybe overloading the players a bit too much and not changing.
Well, I think Sarri as well is a victim of the circumstances of Chelsea, which is that the churn of managers is pretty phenomenal, but also this dressing room, there are players within it that have stopped playing under Conte Mourinho.
That's really important.
What can Sarri do about that?
I think that's a really important point. And very, very quickly, another thing that's worth saying is that this is a Chelsea team who, yes, they've won the Premier League title in the last 10 years, but they've also come 10th.
Yeah.
They've come 6th.
Yeah.
They've come 5th. And if they come 5th this season, fine. That's not going to be great for them. But at the same time, let's not kid ourselves and think that this is a Chelsea team who've been in the top two for the last 6 years in a row, because that's not been the case. And we have to understand that's part of the culture of the club, the short-termist outlook they have. Look, if I was a Chelsea fan, being totally honest, I'd be nervous about this weekend. Man City are 3-10 favourites to lift the trophy. So £10 with Bet365 returns £13, including stake. Man City are big favourites. They're big favourites for a reason. We saw what happened last time two teams played each other. But it is a final. And if you see Chelsea nicking their way into fourth and winning a League Cup this season, which is eminently possible...
They'd bloody take that.
The amount of media coverage over the last week will look preposterous, and that's part of the reason why I was saying what I was saying.
You're right. Now, we're recording this before the Europa League match, of course. So
they could have a disaster. This podcast might date very quickly.
But it's very unlikely to go out to Malmo, although I could eat those words. But it is very unlikely to go out to Malmo, of course, beforehand. But if they lose the League Cup final, then they've got big games coming up, you know. If they lose the next sort of three or four games, then the knives will be out for Sarri. I still think he'll be there come the end of the season, because I don't think they will win all those games. I don't fancy them to win the final against Manchester City, but I think they're at the point now, just put up a good fight.
You not see Jose coming back for a third stint?
Oh my goodness. Did you see that on the rumour mill?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah. I've heard a couple of people say that they think there's a chance that he could... He could be brought in to the end of the season.
The fans, but you know, the other said, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He'd love to have him back for a third.
But you know, the other thing you've got to remember is they wanted to appoint Lampard in the summer, and he didn't want it. And I think they might be looking at Lampard as well. But you know, Chelsea, just to build on what you're saying there and what I mentioned a second ago, that Chelsea are currently 5-4 to finish in the top four with Bet365. So £10 will return £22.50, including stake, if they do it. Yeah, there's a long way to go.
It depends
whether Chelsea blink or not, doesn't it? Depends whether they decide, you know what, we're going to rip it all up again. Something they keep briefing they don't want to do anymore. Mm. So who knows?
Who knows indeed. All right then, it's time for emails with Jimmy C.
Certainly is.
Yeah. Say I'm the only
bee in your bunny. Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bad Jim.
So, yeah, I do have some bees, actually.
Let them out.
Oh, yeah,
this
I will.
Is your job.
Because,
let them farm some pollen.
Now, anyone here who has ever looked through the emails and collected them while Pete is away, which I believe is all of us, will know that sometimes people lie.
Oh, I agree.
It appears that people lie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we've
you start to develop a bit of a spidey sense,
well,
don't you?
Well, you think so. I'm going to call
liar,
it
a liar. Liar. That didn't happen.
Call it a piedy sense in this case. Because
sense.
There is a hell of a lot of pie-related content, and all of it is quite amazing.
Yeah.
So I've just picked out a couple.
Oh, Michael Jackson came around my house and ate a pie.
Yeah.
And wanted to use the toilet.
That sort
don't
of thing.
Use Jackos these. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Can't do it anymore.
Wait till the documentary's out.
It's quite 80s me doing that.
But yeah. So I'm just going to dive in, and we'll see if anyone has proof of these anecdotes from elsewhere, then do get in touch to try to confirm them. So, now then, chaps, I went to Middlesbrough versus Southampton a few years ago, dropped my Balti pie, only to find it had gone into a sealed unit in front of me. It was a white Michael Kors ladies' bag. Did I tell her? Did I balls? I just wiped my chops of all evidence, moved over a few seats and had a lovely old time. If she's listening, she owes me a pie.
I'll tell you what, though. If that pie maintained its integrity,
yeah.
And you're looking down, you're thinking,
that's a bit well, that gone?
It's happened to me before. I don't remember buying a pie.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly going to eat it.
And but it is believable where he says he moved some seats down because there would be empty seats.
He's cowardly.
Oh.
Yeah. What stadium was it at?
Either.
It was, it's Middlesbrough.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. Right. So, but the ones who go are great and they deserve more people.
Exactly.
Like, and free pies. Inexplicable free
hot pies.
Yeah. So if that happened to you, or if you know anyone that inexplicably found a pie in a bag, then
if you had a pie dropped in your bag.
Last time I went at a pie at a game, I had to wait for it to be cooked because it wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And when I ate a bit into it, it was the hottest thing I've ever eaten, as I discussed. Said, I was thinking, just serve it to me when I wanted it, because you've cooked it 10 minutes too long here.
Yeah, that's just unmanageable.
Need to review the system.
Quite. Hello, lads. Following Monday's podcast and the question, has anyone used a pie as a missile? I thought I could share this little tale of shame. What we like.
We don't endorse this, Jim, though, do we?
I don't know. I don't mind a tale.
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm presuming we're not about to endorse it.
But let's make a decision afterwards.
Okay.
Years ago, I used to spend my bored lunch hour moping around the city of Leeds. Thursday was always my favourite day as I rewarded myself with a freshly baked pork pie from the local bakers.
A freshly baked one? Yeah, I've never had a freshly baked pork pie.
I can't even really imagine it.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
One Thursday, I skipped to the bakers with a grin on my face and bought myself said pie. I could feel the heat from the pie in the bag, but my eagerness and excitement was too much. I took a huge bite. As I broke the pastry case with my teeth. Litres of volcanic pork pie jelly spilled onto my fingers. I screamed in pain and juggled the molten pie from one hand to the next. As the pie was being thrown from one hand to the other, a wave of realisation and pain came over me. I couldn't keep this up. Then a sense of disappointment as the pie dropped in slow motion towards the floor. In frustration, I kicked out. As my right foot connected with the pie, it launched forward. No sweeter volley had been seen since Marco van Basten in 1988. I watched my pie fly forwards majestically and hit a poor old deer in a grey raincoat in the middle of her back. I did what any other gentleman would do in the situation.
Ran
as fast as I could the other way, leaving a confused old lady with a crusty jelly, pie-like stain on her overcoat. I would like to now apologise. That's from Rob Ollie.
A cowardly apology there.
Yeah.
From the safety of an email, not naming the people involved.
In a story that may not have happened.
I
thought it was a lie until he said it hit her in the back.
Makes me wonder.
What he's done there is he's not gone too high.
Yeah. As we know, I've kicked a book into an old lady's face.
Happened. But you purposely kicked the book into
I wasn't aiming at her.
No. But it was a part of your stand-up and it was into a crowd.
It was an improvised drunken panic in my second ever gig. I would like to make it very clear,
Jim,
I do not kick books at women.
Is it fair
stand-up.
To say that a lot of stand-up careers are a drunken
yeah. That then become
entire
decades of saving face.
Yeah, I think we can all unite here and say that we don't actually like any of that behaviour in that email.
No.
I mean,
but going after a freshly baked pork pie.
True.
Sympathy as well. Because that's horrible. And him, he's lost his pie.
I'd be happy to get this section sponsored by like Mountain Mowbray, and we do pies every week. I'm
pucker
happy
pies even.
Yeah, pucker pies. Yeah. Pucker pies, man.
Absolutely. Do we want another one?
Go on, Jim. We've got
an informative one here.
Oh.
Attending the Aviva Stadium in Dublin for Liverpool versus Napoli in pre-season this past August, I seized the opportunity to ask the guy working at the food counter why they remove bottle tops. I, like Luke, had always thought it was so that they couldn't be thrown, thinking it was stupid when they also gave me the bottle. He told me that it's actually a safety thing. Should a stadium need to be evacuated, a bottle without a top on the ground will be crushed as people walk over the top. A bottle with a top on becomes a hazard that someone could slip on. Cheers, Chris Mills.
Wow, that is a brilliant bit of insight.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I had no idea.
That is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's ever said that to me before.
I think he's lying.
Yeah. I'm certain. What's the name of the emailer?
Chris Mills.
Chris, I'm almost certainly going to pass it off my own knowledge.
Well, I'm Millsy.
Right. Yeah.
Brilliant. So, should you want to get in touch with more informative information, which is that's a tautology, isn't it? or lies about pies or truths about pies, you can do so by emailing show@thefootballramble.com.
And this is not a boast, it's sort of. We get a lot of emails, so if you want to put what you're talking about in the subject line, that's much more helpful for us, and you've got much more chance of having it read out if that's what your intention is. Presumably it is because you're emailing us in the first place.
Absolutely. All right, it's time for an ad break, and after which we'll go to the Premier League. See you in a minute.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was extraordinary.
Ah, it was just banter. Now it's time for more banter, ladies and gentlemen, because you're welcomed back to the Football Ramble.
Do you want that again?
Which one, Keezy?
It was extraordinary.
I've got Pete's iPad, so anything, any special requests you want, I'll bang them out now. No problem.
Is there any of Pete on there?
Yeah. Are there any files that?
Go on, have a go with that button
hidden
there.
I don't think there's Pete on there, but
just
I've got
go, yeah, that one.
I wasn't clattering on.
That's fine.
Yes, you were, Neil.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway. Oh dear. Right, the Premier League is back, baby. And there's a big one. There is a big one. Manchester United against Liverpool.
Ooh.
Liverpool drew 0-0 with Bayern this week in the Champions League. Some people thought that that wasn't a particularly good result. And others were saying, well, actually,
it's
come
not
on.
Bad.
Come
no
on.
No away goal conceded.
Let's have a think about this, yes. I don't think it's a bad result. I understand that those Champions League nights at Anfield are usually great and high octane stuff, yeah. and there's lots of goals from the home side, and that didn't happen, so one can be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to take something to score a lot of goals against Bayern, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Bayern played very well with a deep line and whatnot. Luke, I think I'm not sure if it was on the continent or just you and I having a pleasant chat, but you thought that perhaps Liverpool's focus has shifted a little bit, yeah, to the league, and that fixture with Manchester United was in the back of certainly Jurgen Klopp's mind.
I think there was to me it felt like a mentality change. It felt like a team that has been keen is an understatement really, to win the Premier League for such a long time. It appears to have become their focus, and we talked on the continent on Wednesday about what's the focus for teams. Is it Champions League? Is it their domestic league? And the answer I think we came to as a group was just that it depends on the team involved. If you're PSG, you're desperate to win the Champions League. If you're Man City, you're desperate to win the Champions League. Real Madrid, as you said, Marcus, judge themselves in the Champions League. Mm. For Liverpool, I don't think it is that. I think I spoke to a Liverpool fan on the yesterday, who was saying, now, give it to me. Oh, do you know who it was? Sorry to name you, but it was Steve McMahon.
There you go.
Ex-Liverpool midfielder.
There you go.
And he said to me, without hesitation, league.
Recognise.
Liverpool want the league. That's what they desperately...
They've been to three Champions League finals in recent years.
Since they've won the league.
Which is great.
Because I feel for a team like Man City or for a team like PSG that haven't won it, the feeling is like, if we don't win it, we'll never win it. Maybe
we're not.
You don't feel for those sides.
No, but
they feel exactly.
Oh, okay, right.
They won't be accepted at the top table really until,
yeah,
they win it.
Exactly.
But with Liverpool, look, it may be wrong. It's just something I observed when I was watching the game. I might have interpreted it wrong, but to me it looked a bit like they weren't playing with the tempo. They weren't playing with the application. They weren't playing with the sort of verve you expect from Liverpool at Anfield in the Champions League. And I think it's partly because Bayern are good, and the way they played didn't help Liverpool, but also because they've got Man United this weekend. It's a huge game for them, and they're in a title race, and they desperately want to win it, but they also believe they can win,
yeah,
it. And I wonder whether, when they came close under Rodgers, they were probably, this is great to be a part of it, whether they truly believed. And I think at the moment, they actually do. That's a big mentality shift for them. So this game will be absolutely vital.
This could be one of the games of the season, given the context as well. Because
it's not going to be now you said that, is it? It'll be a 0-0 now.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, Liverpool were the last team to beat Man United in the league. I think it's 9 games since they played, and they're on that unbeaten run in the league. So
Liverpool beat them 3-1, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So
Burnley were so close, though.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I mean, but sorry, Jim, you were going to say.
Well, I was also going to say, yeah, that Man United have won 7 of their last 9 home league games against Liverpool. So they have, you know, they've still found it difficult,
right,
to win there, even under this.
Look, they'd ask a lot of questions of Liverpool. When Liverpool beat Man United, it was Anfield, it was fairly comprehensive from what I remember.
It was.
Man United will ask them a lot of questions, and how Liverpool approach this will be vital. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is just got them absolutely pumping. He's got them purring. It looks highly likely he's going to be offered the job now, which, you know, he's earned it, and good luck to him. May not a 2-1 to win this game. £10 with Bet365, returns £30, including stake. it's a huge opportunity for Liverpool to get to the top of the table because City are playing in the cup.
What a psychological barrier!
But
to
I know
go away to Old Trafford.
But it's like you've got to prepare for Ferguson's Man United.
I know what you mean.
And if Ferguson being in the stadium suddenly isn't that kind of doesn't cast that shadow that it maybe once did. It's an extra boost, and I think they'll be relishing it as well. They've got the sort of characters, players like Paul Pogba, who are, and Jesse Lingard as well, who are up for a big like. They're up for a big occasion. They're up for a test. They want to go. All right, well, let's see what you got. We're gonna, you know, not show off, but like strut our stuff.
Definitely.
Show what we can do.
Don't forget, Lingard's injured though. He's got a hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, he was just an example of one of those characters in the squad.
Jim was talking about social media.
Social media. He's going to make a contribution.
If he scores a goal, he does a little dance. He does.
I'm quite fascinated because Liverpool have got to be careful now. Part of me thinks is this actually quite a good game for Liverpool to have now, because every game Liverpool go into it and there's just a little feeling creeping in of, right, guys, we have to win this. We have to win. And with the big sides, Guardiola's not saying to Man City, they turn up and go, right, well, we'll do this. Well, and then obviously we'll win if we do that. I think that's the difference.
I believe that's right. And I also think that Man City have more versatility in the players they can select.
They do. I mean, Liverpool's squad is much deeper this season, which is very important.
It is. And it was a huge psychological boost for them to keep a clean sheet against a team like Bayern without Van Dijk, who will be back this weekend.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't see Man City struggling with makeshift changes. Now, that can be done, that can happen through luck, but you know, Man City aren't in a situation where they've got to play Fabinho at centre-back. Mm. Well, Fabinho doesn't play for them, but you know what I mean? Yeah. that type of change. Milner slotting in here, there and everywhere, you know, bringing in Keita in when Klopp's already said that, you know, it's taken him a while to adjust, etc. To me, City seem far more settled, and they vitally have the experience of winning it as well. So, it depends whether you think Man City have got the drive and the ambition to defend their title successfully, which is a lot harder, because we have seen City concentration-wise struggle. I mean, they did it last night. They got away with it. They did it against Leicester. Sometimes they are capable of turning in these like quite lackluster performances, really flat, drab performances. So it really is all to play for, but this is a huge game. If Liverpool get beaten badly by Man United this weekend, I'm not going to go over the top, but it could be tough for them from then on in, because it's, as you said, Marcus, it's a huge psychological barrier. Mm. Although they have won well at Old Trafford. Was it under Moyes when Gerrard scored? I think he scored two penalties and missed another
one. Liverpool were under Moyes. I don't remember that.
Yeah, Liverpool at Man United, I think it was. When Man United were under Moyes. I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember it.
Yeah, but I remember the game. Yeah.
But I mean, on the flip side of it, if they win it, it will be like a scene in Star Wars where they bring down one of those AT&Ts and everyone goes,
Yeah.
Such a big scout.
And they'll get
such a boost from
it. But they're starting to get 3 points, Jim.
But they can't be, like I say, to clarify that point, when Man City, they think, well, we're the best team. They believe they're the best team. We do everything right, when we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Liverpool don't want to get into that mentality. Right, we have to remember, we have to win, guys. It's not go about your business. Yeah. And in a game like this, you can't get too panicky in against quality opposition because they'll get picked off. And we know Manchester United love to counter-attack. Now, I know they're at home.
Yeah.
But it will be very interesting to see how that one plays out. Yeah, all eyes on that one.
Some good games this weekend.
Indeed, next one we should talk about is Burnley versus Spurs. And the reason why I quite fancy having a look at this one is because if Man United, it's possible they can beat Liverpool or even draw with Liverpool. But if they beat Liverpool, of course Man City have played an extra game over Spurs and Liverpool. Tottenham could find themselves just 2 points off the top at the end of play this weekend. Mm. That's very possible.
Absolutely. I mean, Burnley are on a pretty long unbeaten run, aren't
they?
Which is amazing given the situation they found themselves in, but I don't think they're going to have enough to keep Spurs out, especially with Kane potentially backing.
Well, that's a huge boost, even if he's just on the bench. I mean, Spurs have won 5 in 6 in the league since the turn of the year, so they're in good form. Kane's returned to full training, so could be in contention for this one. Llorente came out recently and said, you know, I'm happy at Spurs, and he seems to be, you know, relishing it at the moment. Scored a few goals.
Yeah, I saw those quotes and I felt like he felt really included.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to read, actually, because he's a peripheral player and he's stepped up.
Difficult to keep a player like that happy, because he could go and start somewhere else. And maybe not as good as Spurs.
He's won things as well. Like, he's not a figure of fun. He's not someone to be derided.
No, and he
has stepped up and scored a couple of goals when needed. But you know, two things I think play. I've obviously been really impressed with Spurs this season. I've seen them a few times. They were absolutely outstanding against Borussia Dortmund at Wembley, and that will give him a huge boost, huge load of confidence. They were playing, Vertonghen was playing left wing back, and he was man of the match.
I mean, class,
Pochettino just performs wonders with these players. It really is incredible. And they've, importantly, they've had a 10-day rest, right? So one of the things we read about Spurs quite a lot is that they play a lot of games and they don't have a huge squad, etc. They've had a rest and, you know, they keep finding a way to win. And it was really interesting. Going into the Dortmund game, in my mind, I was thinking, can they go to the well again? Can they go to the well and can they find something, presumably water, because that's what's in the well.
Usually.
And can they pull out a win? Can they pull a win out of the fire? Because to me, whenever I've seen them recently, it was a case of, oh yeah, they just ground that out, or they turned that around.
Like the game against Newcastle.
Absolutely. Dortmund, they were brilliant. First half, they just contained them, worked out what was going on, kept Sancho and Pulisic quiet, kept the Hood quiet, etc. Second half, just blitzed them. They just a complete mentality shift and just blitzed them. And I think Burnley are going to have to do, despite them being in good form and despite them turning their season around, because they look like they might get relegated at one point. I don't think that's going to happen now, but they are going to have to go some to deal with Spurs this weekend.
Well, Burnley, since they lost 5-1 to Everton on Boxing Day, they've been unbeaten in 8 in the league, winning 5 of them.
It's like the opposite to Portsmouth.
Yeah, but they bloody needed that, Burnley. So it'd be an interesting test for Spurs, but we think they will come through it.
And here's something from Bet365 I pulled out, which I found quite interesting in the light of what you've said, Marcus, about them potentially finishing this weekend 2 points off the top.
Yeah.
At time of recording, Tottenham are still 20-1 to lift the Premier League title.
Sure.
£10 with Bet365 returns £210, including stake. If they end the weekend 2 points off, I don't imagine that those odds will stay the same. So I think they're still being a bit underrated. Spurs, I don't think they'll do it, but I still think they're being a bit underrated.
Jim Spurs for Premier League and Champions League double?
I think the squad might struggle to take that much on. But that said,
from an Arsenal fan point of view, would a Europa League win
who
or
do you
run?
Support?
Jim, would you?
There'll be Championship next season.
Here's a serious question, and there's no right or wrong answer. Just curious. Would you have any affinity at all for Spurs winning the Premier League because it just breaks up the monotony?
No.
I thought it might be the case.
No, I understand why you ask. Genuinely, looking at the way Spurs just dispatched Dortmund so coolly, and obviously City coming back yesterday, and we know how effective Liverpool can be in the Champions League, it does feel a little bit like one of those seasons from that period where English clubs really dominated the Champions League. And I think Spurs will go. Spurs, obviously, you know, they're in the quarterfinal pretty much already, but depending on the draw, like,
if you take one thing away from this,
fans won't like me saying that, but come on, they are.
If listeners take one thing away from this, the importance of the draw in the Champions League is so big. I mean, you can Liverpool's run to the final last year. I'm not taking anything away from them, but they had a good draw, you know.
Because even Man City, they knew that they could get at them.
I thought Man City was an ideal draw.
I remember you saying that before. Yeah,
that was the toughest game they probably played. You know, going in and the
semi-final against Roma, you'd take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I know Roma are a good side, blah blah blah. But my goodness, you'd take that.
And before the Man City game tie, the two ties they had before that were dead by the second leg.
Porto was one. I remember. They won 5-0.
It does depend on the draw. It doesn't mean they deserve any less credit. But as someone said to me yesterday, it isn't always the best teams to win the Champions League.
No.
It isn't, and a lot of it is down to luck. Mm. And if Spurs get a run. And they were very unlucky against Juventus, weren't they, last
time? They
were. I
feel like we could have an English winner this year.
Oh, big, it won't be Arsenal.
I think Spurs will go through against Dortmund, but I think the second leg will be a nervy 3-1 loss.
I can see that.
That's what I can see happening. All right, Luke, what's our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet with Bet365 with respect to our sponsors is from Chris King, who's still in the seat.
Go on, Kingy.
He won his bet last week, raising, I think, £180 for charity. He went for a Man United win. And something he doubled himself and sent screenshots to prove it. So he went and had the bet and donated it himself. So good on him.
Good man.
Chris has come back with a... This following email, based on the current form of Tottenham scoring towards the end of matches, I'll go for a draw at half time and Tottenham to win at full time. Odds of 7-2 with a £50 bet should return £225 with Bet365. If I'm still in the seat next week, I'll make sure I go balls out and pick something special. That's where they all fall down. So that's draw and then Spurs in the half time full time market at 7-2. And a £50 bet returns £225 with Bet365, including stake. With all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be 18 or over to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Chris.
Love that. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, in the absence of Pete Donaldson, let us enjoy, with the same jingle, Luke's game.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you to play the game. People are coming everywhere.
to be the best that they can, to reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
Loops game.
Yeah, thanks, mate. We haven't got another jingle, so let's use the same one.
People love that jingle.
If you've not heard it, if you don't listen every week, or you haven't listened before when Pete's off, I give the guys a player, and they have to auction about how many of the players' clubs they can name. And if they win the auction, they have to name them. If they get anything wrong, they lose. It's the best of three. It'll all become clear when we start playing. Mm-hmm. I will let Marcus have first crack, because Jim, for me, is number one seed on these kind of games. I'll give Marcus
first
crack.
I'm terrible at this one.
They're not terrible. I think you underestimate your powers in this one.
I see.
Yeah.
Need confidence, Jim. And you've got a bit of a cold today, so maybe confidence is low, but I need you to battle through.
Who have we got?
First up, Marcus, you're up first. It's Jason McAteer.
Oh, blimey.
Jason, how many of his clubs can you name? He's played for five in total.
Jason McAteer. It's so annoying when you say five, and I think, Jason McAteer, I remember the man's career. Why can I only think of one?
Well, if you want to make an opening bit of one, you can.
I'll make an opening bit of two.
Okay, Jim, can you beat two with three, or would you like Marcus to name the clubs?
I'd like Marcus to name the clubs.
Okay, you've got a choice of five, Marcus. The floor is yours. You need to name two clubs that Jason McAteer played for.
Liverpool and Bolton.
Two sacks, just writing down. Liverpool and Bolton, that's correct.
Yeah, there you are.
1 point to you.
Can I think of one?
Well, you got two.
Yeah.
He could also have Blackburn Rovers, Sunderland or Tranmere Rovers.
I thought Sunderland, because I just assume everyone has played for it.
All right, so that's 1-0 to Marcus.
I'm very much the Diego Simeone of this game.
You are.
I remember when we had, I think last time we played this, I had a player, I can't remember who it was.
Like, had nine clubs?
Yeah, I think he had 12, and you won it with two.
Yeah, was it Colin Palmer?
Might have been,
I snuck over the line.
Right, Jim, you're up first.
Stop squeezing yourself.
The next player is Chris Sutton.
Chris Sutton.
And he's played for seven in total. It's quite surprising that he's played for seven.
That is surprising.
If you get all seven, i.e. if you get one of these, which isn't a professional club, I will give you the money myself, as Les Dennis used to say.
I can get three, definitely.
Okay. Marcus, can you do four?
I can do four.
Jim, would you like to do five, or would you like to ask Marcus to name four? And the great, for people listening at home, there are tactics at play here. At first, it feels like a very simple game, but you can play a defensive strategy where you put the other player in all the time, or you can go really aggressive and name. And Jim is much more of a defensive player usually.
I think we all are, actually. Yeah.
Marcus has got four. Can you go five?
Well, because obviously I know three. Five involves two guesses, so I'm going to throw it over to Marcus.
Okay, four. You need four, Marcus.
Norwich, Blackburn's.
One at a time, please.
Okay, Norwich.
Correct.
Blackburn.
Correct.
Celtic.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Correct.
How have I forgotten Blackburn?
2-0.
As soon as he said, well, best of three.
Yeah, 2-0.
Play the jingle, please, Sat. Marcus Bell wins. We're going for gold. Hey. What was the other one? Wait for it. You've had yours plenty of times.
Lord. So the other three clubs were Birmingham City, Aston Villa and Wroxham, who play, I think, in some sort of Suffolk league.
Yeah, I forgot he played.
Or maybe
for Villa.
A Norfolk league.
Birmingham City, blimey.
I am going to break the protocol here, because we've got a bit of spare time. I'm going to give you a chance, Jim, to save us some pride.
A little consolation, Jim.
See if you can get a 2-1 back. Get a vital away goal for next week. Right? The third and final player.
Hello, Maldini.
Marcus is going first, so you better hope it's not Maldini. Inter is incorrect, Marcus.
Okay.
The final player, he's played for eight clubs in total.
Oh.
He's actually played for one of those clubs twice, but it's eight separate clubs, and it's Jurgen Klinsmann.
Ah, Klinsy.
How many can you name?
Oh, good one, that.
Jim's got a furrowed brow. He's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, two straight away, and that's not good enough. But I'll start the bidding with two.
Jim?
I got three.
You can go higher than
actually,
three if you
I
want.
Can, I think I can go higher than that.
Well, if you want to build a higher bid, you're welcome to do that.
I'm just trying to think of the ones that... Oh, no, okay, I'll go three.
Okay, Marcus, can you do four? I mean, four will take this round into the not piss poor category.
Yeah, I'll have a go with four.
Okay, Jim, five?
Nah,
Jim's so defensive in this.
Yeah, but he knows that I can't name four.
So if you don't do four, Jim just has to name one to take the point from. Oh no,
no,
actually,
Jim gets the point.
If you're wrong, Jim gets
the
point.
Yeah,
should know that. It's my game. Right, four clubs. Go.
Inter, Spurs, Bayern Munich.
Correct.
Sorry, I've meant to.
That's right. They're all correct. They're all correct.
Yeah, and this is where presumably you had those three, or did you have another
one? I had
one?
Those three and one I'm not 100% on.
Inter,
might be right.
Correct. Spurs, he played for twice, of course, once on loan. And what was the third one? Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Correct.
And Germany.
No, you can't have Germany, I'm afraid.
West Germany, then.
No, you can't have that either. Come on, name a club.
And I think that Jürgen Klinsmann, he played in America. I think he played for...
If you get the American team, I will dance around this studio with all my clothes off and no one wants to see
me. All right, well, I'm honing in on the American side then. I think he played for Kansas City Wizards.
Incorrect.
Oh, come on, that would have been good.
So he started off at Stuttgart Kickers, then he went to Stuttgart.
The one I was going to say was Sampdoria.
Correct.
That's in my head.
Definitely. Oh, of course, he played for Samp.
Played there for a season, 97-98. The American team was Orange County Blue Star.
Wow. You know, I knew it wasn't one of the... Yeah.
But just to remind everyone... Marcus wins. Very much a consolation point, Jim.
Sampdoria, I should have got. Should have got Sampdoria.
I should have got Blackburn Rovers.
All right, there we go.
Pleasure.
So play that again next time Pete's not in.
Lovely. Well,
have
thank
you.
You
I hope you played along at home as well.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course they did. Of course they did. Without the internet. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been a bloody pleasure. Luke Moore, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. We'll see you on Monday for the Football Ramble.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.